You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
All right, welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We have a full show today, and just in case this is your first time here, I just want to tell you Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. On last week's show, well, before we go to last week's show, let's talk about this week's show. On this program, actor, comedian, talk show host Steve Harvey said some stuff about Hollywood. He said Hollywood was kind of racist, but it's Steve Harvey versus Hollywood. Not a true black on black crime, but I thought it's something that we should have a discussion about, as well as another topic of discussion, African American biopic, virtues versus vices. Would we rather see a biopic about somebody real life, their virtues or vices? Now, I don't know if this is going to turn out to be a black on black crime, but we'll talk about that as well. We have an update for Oprah's response from our last week's comments from Terrence Howard about Oprah. You know that one. We're going to spotlight KRS-One song, Disaster Kit. I heard this song. I think everybody should hear it. So I figured we'd get on a historical record by putting it on the show, just in case you need to listen to something, in case you're in a disaster. This is truly teaching, so you know how KRS-One is. And we have entertainment updates and more on this program. Now, last week's show was actor Terrence Howard versus media mogul Oprah Winfrey. If you want to check that out in the archives, he made some comments that we're going to talk about on this show. And also actress Kiki Palmer versus social media and race stories. That was all last week. Check us out in the archives. This is Black on Black Crime. Let's bring in Finesse. How you doing, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on, Esprit? How you doing?
I'm good. I know you're getting into the NCAA tournament stuff, so
yeah,
I might as well get the sports out the way.
Yeah, I got the NCAA tournaments, and now I'm heading up to HBCU sports for the newspaper, as well as, you know, Coach Dean and I are going to be producing his show, the Coach Dean show, and it's going to be HBCU sports. So been kind of busy and working on some music video for some artists. You know, it's really busy. Blessed time, though.
Cool. We also have Daniel on, Brother Daniel from Houston. How you doing, Daniel?
Bring him out. What's going on, man?
came in hype. That's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Since we're all sports fans, let me bring in the commissioner because, you know, she always feels like we need a little less testosterone in the program. We have the commissioner on. Hey, Kathleen.
Hi. I think I better raise my voice a little bit because there's so much testosterone around here.
Oh, okay. My God.
I know. She didn't have to come on clowning today.
She's not like Minnie Mouse.
And we can put some bass in our voice. Okay, let me bring in my girl,
Ty. Sound like Lil Wayne on codeine.
Oh, no. Don't see. Commit black on black crime. I don't know if you know, Kathleen, that the creators of Girlfriends is running a Kickstarter fund, which is an online fund to fund movies. They're trying to do a Girlfriends movie. I don't know who would be interested in that, but
I would listen. They did Sex and the City, so mm-hmm. You know, I would go see it.
I would definitely go see it.
I'm missing Joan, as annoying as she is on the show. I'm missing her presence on television. She did a comeback in that show with Malcolm Jamal Warner, Read to Read, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that didn't last that long. It was a cute show. I thought they could have been able to save it, or should have been able to save it, but that didn't last. But I'm missing Joan. I think she's a great actress. I mean, well, Tracy Ross. I think she was a
Call her by her character. Okay.
I know. I think she's a great actress, and I'd really like to see more of her. Saw her in a couple movies. Tyler Perry, I think, had her in that movie with Daddy's Girl.
Okay.
But I haven't seen that much of her lately.
All right. So, guys, I want to say this for the record. See how I tried to be a little balanced and gave her a little estrogen moment? Because I don't really care about that. Like, it's kind of like talking about scandal and deception. See, we can crash that.
So you're patronizing me. Okay.
Well, you can
see that should be a foul because I like girlfriends.
I didn't say it wasn't a good show. I said I broke the monotony of going from sports to girlfriends because that is a long distance. Sports and girlfriends.
That's how I know you. That's how I know you get preferential treatment. So you water up the commissioner with topics like this.
Oh no, no, she didn't.
So you don't get called out on your little indiscretions.
Hey, look, I definitely don't get preferential treatment. That is not the case.
Kathleen, what's your address? I'm about to send you a dozen roses.
Oh, see, here we go. Somebody's about to get put on mute. No, because you can't be bribing. I can get you like something with cheese on it. Like we go to the drive-thru, get a little fries.
Right. Grilled cheese. Now that's a black on black crime.
No. All I'm saying is my threshold is low. So you know what? If you can't take that, I'm not going to go all out for that. No bribery in my future. Also, I just want to tell you, when I started looking at some of the internet comments from the questioning of reviving of girlfriends, you know, it was always, why did you have to have that character and I prefer this one opposed to that one? This is going to fall into our conversation a little bit later about the, I don't know what to call it, virtue vices kind of thing about which black person should be doing this and that. I have some internet comments from this, so I'll talk about that. Also, we have Will Smith and his Overbrook Entertainment partner, James Lester, is looking for undiscovered TV script writers. And so they're asking you to submit a 30-minute comedy or half-hour drama by 1 p.m. Eastern, March 21st. The winner will get an opportunity to write a script for future development and $5,000. But the one thing I do want to say is read the fine print, because I don't think they get an 18-month option, and you only get $5,000 if they select it. So I don't know if they own it, but you might want to read the fine print. It was all there. I just didn't read through all of it. But that is what's going on in that part of the world of entertainment.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm calling a team meeting. And after the show, come on, team, let's put together a couple scripts.
If I write a script, you're not giving me $5,000 for it. We're going to have a little talk.
We'll have a team meeting.
If I'm writing a script, I want $500,000 and I want some money when it goes into syndication.
We're already talking points. See, Kathleen's an attorney here, and she's not negotiating better on our behalf.
A team meeting.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to put our business all out in the street.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah,
see, we're gonna just hash that out a little bit later. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You see, Finesse went for the jugular. He was like, look, we are
going to... We've been so short, far too long, far too often.
You ain't about to rob me.
Oh, no.
Reparations, here we go.
Okay.
It's not even reparations. It's just that we've settled for less, and we watch other people take our ideas, inventions, and whatnot, and become multimillionaires.
Yep.
So it's time to negotiate it up front. Make sure we get paid.
Give me my $500,000. When you hit syndication, I want money.
Residual.
That's right. The Seinfeld cast and the Friends cast ain't never got to work.
See, hey, and I'm not disagreeing with anyone on this. I was just saying, Kathleen, we're going to be some high-priced writers. Well, it's not
like Will Smith ain't never got to work again. Fresh Prince come on here.
Well, but he did put his work in. We can't really knock him on, though.
I can knock him for that $5,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's $5,000 for winning the contest, and you get $1,000 for the script. But you don't get
I almost said the N-word.
So you get $1,000 for the script, and they're saying up to $1,000 for the script.
See? Yeah. I'm not going to say anything, but all I know is people that's listening, don't fall for the okey-doke. You better get paid.
Okay, well, this is true, so we're not cutting it short. But this is for new writers, if you want to go out there. You can.
No, the word is sucker.
Yeah, throw in a rush card, man.
That's two black on black crime.
I am
counter.
Looking for a bump
not,
listen, to get
I,
out
that's
of this.
Not black on black crime, because that could be
flag,
black or white.
The
that
flag,
could be black or white.
The N-word and the flag.
I almost
the
said the
card.
N-word. I didn't say the N-word.
I know, but you brought it up. That's,
that's like saying you almost pregnant.
All right, well.
And that's a male on female crime or whatever. I'm making up now new crime.
Okay, well, hopefully we can bring this back a little bit. Let me bring in my girl, Kai. Hopefully she'll add a little sanity to the group. Columnist
Praise
and artist.
The Lord.
Kai, how you doing, Kai?
I'm good. Sorry. Hello.
I'm always laughing when I bring you in because these guys.
And I'm always laughing when you bring me in.
Hallelujah.
How you guys doing?
We're all right. Where you been? It's been a minute.
Oh. Here, there, a little bit everywhere. All
Hi,
I know Kelly. Is I came in. How you doing, Kamish? I came in on two potential flags. That's all I heard.
You know, I can't start the day off with getting these so-called flags. All I said was almost the N-word, got a flag. And then I said, sucker, and I got another two flags. And then Jerome
suckers,
is bribing
and
her.
He's
bribing her,
card.
And he don't get no flags.
Look, Kai, luckily you put your hand up to come in because I was struggling looking for some music to get us out of here. It's time for a commercial. Okay. I got to get us back on track.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm like, it was not me looking for a flag for Finesse. Finesse just wanted to go off the rails a little bit. So
I'm just giving people some friendly advice. Don't be no sucker. $6,000 for a script? No way.
I think Daniel agreed with you too, didn't you, Daniel? You
most definitely. I mean, because it's like what's going on? I don't know how much a movie like Juno made, but imagine them selling that script for $5,000 or giving that the person $5,000 and it becomes a multi-million dollar feature film, and then you sitting there with all I got was $5,000.
No. I'm sorry. You got $5,000 for winning the contest. All you got is an extra $1,000 if they choose your script.
And
they
that's
choose
not
the
even after tax.
That's no better.
No, I intentionally made it worse. I just wanted to tell you what it was, and I didn't read the rest of the fine print. I'm not sure if they can't take your name off it, but I didn't see that part.
That's where you would have to have Kathleen look at the contract, because it'd be all kind of other crap, like they own the rights.
They do.
It's so much, and then they'll be slick and change the name of it, and then when you go to court, it's like we didn't get anything because we got this based off this. You crazy? You better get me more than that.
Or if you come up, you want to do a sequel? They say, well, I'm sorry, we own the rights to that. That's
right.
Court.
Right.
And didn't this happen to the Matrix? The black woman who wrote the Matrix.
Oh, that was a sister. Yep. That is, they just stole it from her.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
And still,
Chris Rock's hair.
Oh.
Well, I'll give you another one. Bubba Sparks. You remember that white boy that can rap?
Uh huh.
He, Timberland got that music from a producer that sent it in, tried to get on. The A&R didn't like any of the music, gave it to Timberland. They stole that music, and the dude never got a dime.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's the business of music, right? Don't give
that's
your stuff away.
Shady business. Good grief.
I know.
That's why I said it's sucking. $6,000 is nothing. Because if women are able to do something and it's on a year, you're going to get that in commercials.
Oh, that's true.
Isn't that a rent for an apartment in New York City?
It never was.
Isn't that the rent for an apartment in New York City, $6,000?
No. That's the price of underwear in New York.
All right, on that note, I think that means it's really time for a break. You are listening to Black on Black Crime. We have not gotten into our topics yet, but on this program, we are talking. Oh, you can call in 909-265-9189. Remarkably enough, I have not been on my job laughing and have not opened up the chat room, so I'll open it up in a minute, I guess. And, you know, join in. We're going to talk about, when we come back from break, black biopics. Should they focus on virtues or vices of black public figures. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. We'll be back after this break.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're a single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Welcome to Esprinet News 90-Second News Break. The U.S. unemployment rate hit the lowest point in 4 years as the latest job report showed a jump in hiring over the past month has drastically helped the economy. Unemployment is now 7.7%, and the Dow Jones average is at its 10-day high, the longest since 1996. The Internal Revenue Service says it has $917 million in unclaimed tax refunds. The refunds are owed to nearly 1 million people who failed to file a tax return in 2009. Taxpayers must file their 2009 returns by April 15th to claim their funds. If they don't, the money becomes property of the U.S. Treasury. In April, William Wrigley Jr. Company, one of the world's largest chewing gum companies, will come to the market with an Alert Energy caffeine gum. It has half the caffeine contained in a cup of coffee. The gum is said to be for adults and will be sold in packages of 8 pieces for about $2.99. A 12-year-old girl in middle school showed up in class with a backpack stuffed with $20,000 in cash. The principal said the girl had been spotted handing out $500 bills to some of her classmates, and the money now is currently in the hands of local police. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News. Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189. Let's bring in Finesse, because I know he can relate to this song. This is old school. What's up, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on? What's the song? I didn't hear the song.
You can't hear the song? The intro to an old Sir Mix-a-Lot song. Here, it's a Kiss sample. Daniel, could you hear?
I can't even hear.
Oh.
No, I couldn't hear.
You couldn't hear it? Didn't kick in either? Oh, well, you know.
Yeah, I heard music, but I had never heard the song before.
Since nobody can recognize what Sky Pager was. Sky?
I heard something about a beeper.
See, it was a song beeper. I'm sure. We'll play that later. Kai, I didn't get into your, in case you want to talk about this later, you know, Kai was on vacation and she had a customs issue. No, I'm just joking. We're not going to throw you
over. Told you about that.
Said it was time to take knives.
Kai went out there with a butcher knife.
See, that's a black on black, right? Why would Kai have a butcher knife?
Because she's going to another country. You never know what could happen.
She could have had caffeine gum, and they weren't allowing caffeine in.
It wouldn't.
Could have been anything.
Yes.
Fine. It was weird.
With my luck, it could have been.
I'm not going to.
See, Jerome, you started it.
I know. I'm not going to mute her either. I'm just going to say, we're just going to move on. Now, our first topic is black biopics. Recently, I was reading this article on this website, Shadow and Act, the blog. It's about movie blog. And they talked about black public figures. And they said in the past, some families and in some cases friends have not approved of certain projects because of the prolonged or prominent focus on the negative of the particular characters. Now, I know we've talked about Nina Simone and the TLC projects in the past. There's a Winnie Mandela project starring Jennifer Hudson, and Winnie didn't approve. Jay Hudson nor the filmmakers even met with Winnie Mandela. And at least two Martin Luther King Jr. films Lee Daniels Selma. Andrew Young objected to the depiction of MLK that might hurt his image, and the estate of Martin Luther King said they were unhappy with the scripts. Marvin Gaye Films, Berry Gordy blocked the production of the film about his life for fear that Gordy would be depicted negatively. He pretty much owns the rights to the Marvin Gaye life for some of his films. And there was also Denise Gaye, the late singer's second wife and last wife, who voiced her opinion and concerns about the planned depiction of drug use and unflattering images of Marvin Gaye. There was the B.B. King Project, star Wendell Pierce. B.B. King did not approve of that. Pierce said he wouldn't work on the project unless King had approval. There was a Jimi Hendrix film. I can go on with, and the Hendrix estate did not approve the project. And, of course, we know the Nina Simone one with Zoldana, and they didn't have authorization or approval from the Simone estate. I just want to ask, what do you think about this? When we have films that depict real-life people, is it right to focus on their virtues or their vices? I'll start with Kai on this one, just to ask the question. What do you think about that, Kai?
That's a good question. I would say their virtue. But I understand, you know, like we said, movie making, entertainment business is a dirty business, so I understand from a producer or director or writer standpoint, they're trying to sell a movie. But I respect the person who said they wouldn't do the movie without B.B. King's approval.
Right.
From my perspective, I would want to do it based on virtue.
Right. Okay. And Daniel, would you go with the virtue or the vices in a biopic?
It just kind of depends on if you want to vilify that person or you want to lift them up.
But that's the whole point that they're making. They're saying that with images of African Americans, especially public figures, we like scandal, which no one is messing with the fact that Lincoln didn't do anything to free the slaves. It was kind of a calculation because he needed more people in the Civil War on his side. Like, that wasn't like he was being humane. But nobody talks about the racist statements that he made either. So we're saying in black films, we are so focused on the unflattering when it really comes down to it. Do you think it's okay to focus on the virtue or the vices when it comes to doing projects of real life people? We don't care about the fictional or non-fiction stuff, but we're just saying a specific person when it's tagged a biopic.
Well, I mean, I guess it all depends on, you know, what's the impact you want from the film. I mean, you have some people who, just say for instance, if, you know, not he's not black, but a Jesse James, you're going to talk about all the bank robberies. You're not going to sit down and talk about his, you know, his family life and how he did this and did that. You'll talk about what he's known for. So it kind of depends on the character itself.
You know, Kathleen, you could have threw a flag on him. We weren't talking about bank robberies. Now, he ain't have to go that negative. All right. Let's go with Kathleen. Kathleen, what do you think about that?
I think it is I like what, you know, Daniel said, basically, you know, who are you looking at? Right, because when we did the biopic, the you know, American Gangster, if you want to look at that as a biopic, you're pretty much going to look at, you know, what he did and what he was known for. He was a drug dealer, you know, so that's going to be
right. That's what he did.
Whoa.
But Martin Luther King didn't do that. Marvin Gaye didn't do that. He was a singer. We're talking about, do you want to depict somebody's greatness and equally balance it with negative? And so
no,
we're saying, what do you focus
so.
On, the virtue or the vices?
The virtues. Absolutely the virtues. But, I don't think it has to be so unrealistic that there's no vice in there at all. But I definitely think you want to focus on the virtue.
Right. We're just talking main focus. You said the virtues. Okay. Finesse, virtue or vices?
You have to focus on them both. I can give you perfect examples. Look at Malcolm X. Look at Ray. I mean, it depends on who's directing it and writing it and in the balance of it. If it's somebody that hates somebody, that's totally different. But if you're telling a story, you're telling a bio, you have to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's just, you know, how much of it do you glorify on either end? And I think that it can have a balance. I mean, I know the, and it's kind of unfair to ask me because I know the insides of all those movies that are supposed to be being made, but in all those instances, everyone doesn't want to talk about the bad, but the bad is part of that. Barry Gordy doesn't want people to know about his how he messed up Motown with his sexual exploits and spending the other people's money. You know, they don't want to talk about Jimi Hendrix and his drug abuse, and you know, they don't want to talk about the whole Marvin Gaye situation. But you're talking about a buy-up. I mean, Ray Charles gave them, and this is before he died, he gave them the approval. And that's big, because Ray could have been one of those ones that said, well, I don't want to talk about all that. But he talked about it because it's a part of who he is and it made him who he was. I mean, it's the same thing that's happening with the James Brown. They don't want, and that's never going to come out until they even bury that man.
Right.
You know, yeah. It all depends on how it's done. You know, I think you use a bad example of the Lincoln, and I understand what you're saying, but Lincoln was only, that movie was only for a specific time period. If they were doing the whole buy-up on Lincoln, then you probably would have heard all the other stuff. And in white folks' movie, I mean, look at the, the guy that's in charge of the FBI. They did talk about his
gay. J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, they did talk about his gayness. I mean, you know, they've done those movies as well. Yeah. J. Edgar Hoover used to like to dress up in dresses and see men.
That ain't no
secret.
Okay, yeah, and I don't want to sidetrack this. I don't know how much did they go into his obsession with Martin Luther King and Malcolm and kind of setting black people up, but we're not going to go through that part. But
right.
I'm just saying, realistically, I think with black biopics, and some people feel like it humanizes them to make their achievements more accessible, like, to those people who hold him in high regard. They're saying, look where he came from. I don't think it's necessary. Now, former Black Panther leader Stokely Carmichael, or Kwame Ture, insisted on depicting virtues versus vices, you know, film representation of real-life people like MLK, because he suggests that Hollywood peddles vices as entertainment, and he has a problem with that. So that kind of makes perfect sense. Kwame Ture is just saying, you know what, we get enough of that. So
I mean, but you can't, then you might as well don't even make those films. Because what you're doing is misleading, because if you're just doing the virtue, I mean, what makes those individuals relatable is because they were in a struggle or they were going through things that shows them the human side, so that other folks who may be going through the same thing, you never know who may get that. You know, it's a tough road. I say this. If you're a person, don't let your film get made by a director or a writer that you don't trust.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying don't put any of that in there, but a lot of times the focus is on the negative. So we're saying focus virtue or vices, and I happen to think positive is stronger than negative, and that you always have to look at the goodness, because when people pass, there is no bad stuff left, right? They just, whatever it is that made them who they are, that rose them to greatness, it's just a part of their makeup, but it does not, there's no residual to that. So you can't blame them for the circumstances that caused whatever. So I think when we show things, it's okay in Ray to say, yep, he had drug use, this is why he fell off or whatever.
Right.
But I think Ray's contributions to society has to do with all of those hits Ray made more than it has to do with focusing on his own personal drug use issue, because I don't know his drug use issue until I watched the biopic, but I knew all of Ray Charles songs.
Right. You knew
that. You can talk about vices in this regard, too. You had the brother who was the American gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's being celebrated for being a good businessman and having the acumen to go in and take over the drug game from the Italians or whoever. So he's being lifted up as this being, quote-unquote, a virtue, but that was his vice. So it's not necessarily a clean-cut thing depending on what the biopic is about, or the person that the biopic is about.
Right, but we're saying his main... His occupation was a gangster. Like, I don't say that with just being light about it, because you do have like the Godfather and Scarface, like, so I don't have any respect for any of that stuff or any of those films, but they are what they are. So you can focus on all the negative that you want about him. If that's how he came to popularity, yes, you focus on negative, right? Because you don't become American gangster without those negatives. So you do focus on those. But what I'm saying is that it's a little bit different. Now, as far as I know, just in case you're thinking about doing somebody's biopic, as far as I know, it's perfectly legal to make a film about a real person's life, dead or alive, without their approval or without acquiring their life story.
And that's where the problem is. But
you risk a lawsuit later on that might get in the way or slow down the release of your film. So you can invest it in it if you want to, and they can just stop that thing after it's made. You can't lie on people.
Well, look at the Kings. They had those several King movies, and they called themselves stopping those, and they still came through. That's where the problem is. The problem is, we, you know, families need to retain the rights of whoever famous is in their family.
I don't think they should be able to call them biopics. If they're not, if you don't have rights to retain inside information, you can't call them biopics.
Until they change that, that's what they're going to call them.
Right. Ty, you wanted to say something, Sasha?
Well, in reference to the movie Ray, that was one of those movies I thought was so, one of my favorite movies by far, but what I liked about it is like what you said. They discussed the fact that he had a drug problem, but they highlight the fact that he was a talented person. And like you said, I wasn't aware of the extent of his drug problem until I watched the movie. I watched the movie because of the talent.
Right.
You know, and if it could be done like that, I mean, it's like Finesse says, you got to sometimes put the bad with the good. But if there's a balance where you can touch on the bad but highlight the good, it still, I believe, makes for a very good movie. But, you know, sometimes I think, too, when you have a family who tries to, or friends or whoever, who try and stop the movie from being made, unfortunately, that brings more attention to the movie. So when you have families who are trying to ban it, and for good reason, sometimes it makes people want to go see it more. You know, so sometimes it works in favor of the person who didn't get the approval, as ironic as that sounds.
Right. And in most of those cases, the half the family is split because family is looking at money and other
royalties.
Protect
them. Exactly.
So, I mean, in a few years, we're going to have the same discussion again when they get ready to do the Michael Jackson story.
Oh, Michael Jackson story is going to be a mess. I can tell you that right now.
Spike Lee is already commissioned to do the Michael Jackson. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying that, but I do know that for a fact. Spike.
I'm glad he's doing it.
I am too.
Daniel, did you want to say something about that?
I didn't have a comment.
Okay. Now, I didn't put this down because I read the story and I read the update to the story. Sony is talking about remaking Good Times. Now, this is just kind of all in the same vein. I'm saying this just to say, you know, we talk about biopic and images on TV. And the guy who created Good Times, who had to sue Norman Lear because he created the Jeffersons, right? He created the George and Louise Jefferson characters. He wrote, he wrote a lot of movies. He created...
I thought that was Norman Lear.
Right. Norman Lear took his name off of that stuff later on. And he only settled with like $1 million.
So now let's stop right there for a second. I'm going to let you go back to your point. But this goes back to what we opened the show with. This is why I call people suckers. Do not sell your script for no freaking $6,000.
Right, but this was in the 70s. So there was nothing black on TV.
But it still doesn't matter. Do not. Okay, that's an example. Here's a black man, wrote a script, wrote Good Times to Jefferson. He got $1 million.
Man?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Eric Monte, I think, is his name. He wrote the characters. I guess the guy who plays Lamont came to him to write his parents because he wasn't getting any lines in All in the Family. So he came in and wrote the characters of Louise and George Jefferson, and they ended up spending it off. He said he called them back, and they spent it off. And he said, I want you to develop a TV show. So he wrote Good Times. What? Go ahead.
Well, go back further. I believe he was one of the only black staff writer on the series Maude,
because the white writers didn't know how to write when they
Didn't know how to write for black characters.
So are we talking about Afro fine Lionel or the other Lionel?
not the short.
We're talking about the one with the
Lionel.
Afro.
The one with the
Afro fine Lionel. Okay.
Well, we wouldn't call him that, but you, that's
that's his new name, Afro fine Lionel.
They didn't know how to write a character for Florida,
you know,
when she was on Mars.
Luckily, Kathleen dropped, by the way.
And he was the one, and it went from there.
Right. And so,
I did not know that.
Well, and they wrote a lot of shows back then. So not only with, I'm only remembering the Jeffersons, I don't know why that's coming to my head as only the Jeffersons, but he said he negotiated for 3 years with Norman Lear because they didn't want to have a black father in good times. So he said as they got ready to kill off James in Good Times, by the way, it was a part of Norman Lear. He said they have a harder time thinking that, and he said he asked them, how many black people you know in the black community? And the guy goes, none. He said, how can you write what is going on in the projects, right? And so the problem is when you start talking about images of black folks, Hollywood accepts these stereotypical images of us that is crazy. And so I am making a connection between these two these projects by saying, if we allow, not personally allow, but if we're saying yes, it is okay to depict black heroes or people who accomplish high things and to focus on their negative, that's no different than how they focus on negative characters generally when it comes to Hollywood. Hence our main black on black topic today. Is Steve Harvey versus Hollywood. He's saying Hollywood's racist, but we'll talk about that after our break. But this is the same thing. All of the stories are kind of the same theme today. But it just seems to me that if they're real-life people, we have so much negative out there that, no, you can say, here's what happened. This guy did this. He fell off. He was homeless. We know that most white millionaires that didn't inherit their money, they all dropped out of college, even if they went. You know, Bill Gates dropped out, Michael Dell dropped out, all of them dropped out of school. So they never focus on their life story talking about how they never finished college. They got honorary doctorates later. Mm-hmm. That's just my point about that. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kai.
No, I just was wondering, what's Afro Fine Lionel doing now?
Afro Fine Lionel?
Yeah.
I believe he passed away a while ago.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. Oh. I believe he passed away. I forgot. I want to say it was colon or prostate cancer. That's what I have to look up.
Let this be a lesson, black men. Get your exams. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the public service announcement.
Right. Actually, he died of throat cancer December 14, 2006.
Man.
Okay.
Oh, wow, really?
I knew he died of some cancer.
I didn't know that. All right, well.
I'm learning so much on this show.
Well, I don't think I want to know that, but you know, I'm just saying I'm appreciative of having information. But that was just the main point that I was trying to make is that we have so many of those images out. Maybe we will talk about the fight that they're having over Good Times now because Sony does have the rights. They hired a white writer. They have white producers. And they put Monte Moore's name on it, I think, so that they wouldn't get sued. But he's not technically a part of the project. So,
well, this goes back. Daniel said it earlier, controlling our own. We already back then we have networks. Let's see if BET, you know, Bounce TV, Aspire, all these new black channels. Let's see what they do. And a reason why they're even thinking about making a Good Time is because every one of those freaking networks keeps showing Good Time.
Right. And they're making a lot of money showing Good Times, right?
Well, and I'm told that they're bringing JJ back.
They're bringing JJ back?
Yeah, he's going to be one of the characters. I think he's going to try to play the father, if I'm not mistaken.
So they're going to, they're looking at...
Which can't happen.
They're looking at Boy Meets World, but the only difference is Boy Meets World, they were well off or, you know, had jobs, lived in nice neighborhoods. If they come back and do Good Times in the Hood, that's a definitely slap in the face.
They're going to do
that
good
means they haven't progressed.
Yeah, I can't imagine where this is going. All right, well, Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in area code 909-265-9189. We're going to take a break and come back with more Black on Black Crime.
All right, family photo.
Charlie, stop punching your brother. Sarah, stop texting and look at your dad.
I can get to take the light.
Yeah, well, just look at your dad so you get the shot.
Give me a shot.
Got it.
What?
Okay, wait, wait, wait.
Yeah, I got it. Come here.
Nobody move, especially you, Charlie.
Let's go.
How'd you do that?
Automagically. Let's see.
Combine pictures with best face on the new Samsung Note 2. Available at all major carriers.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, steer clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder.
Hi.
It seats 7.
Hi.
Or 2. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's Tri-Zone entertainment system.
My movie just ended.
Ours too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I'm here with Finesse, Daniel, and Kai.
What's going on, people?
Hello.
Hey.
Like that song.
We haven't heard
Kai.
I just want to let you know, we have to kind of jazz it up a little bit. Since we're talking about crazy people, I kind of...
That's about a little way.
See, I didn't know if that was Vanessa Daniels. See how that goes? When the commissioner drops out, it just breaks loose.
Oh, the commissioner not here?
Commissioner has, he's dropped out a minute ago. See, no,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
no.
Here
we go.
Uh-oh.
Got a cat away.
Yeah, I think y'all going to sync her back up. You know, she's going to break loose. See, when, knowing I know she was gone, when Kai said, fine Lionel.
Afro-fine Lionel.
Afro-fine, mm-hmm. Yeah. She would have jumped all over that. Actor, comedian, talk show, game show host Steve Harvey.
Facebook writer.
Facebook writer and movie writer.
Oh, yeah.
Kai.
For shame.
I know, that was kind of a black-on-black crime, but I'm going to let that one go. Just a warning. Can let that one go as Steve Harvey. Now, or Country Steve, as he liked to call himself. Comedian Steve Harvey hit the daytime talk show circuit. He has the popular game show Family Feud, mm-hmm. best-selling book, box office movies, and the self-described relationship expert, which is why he called it a joke, by the way, Kai. Oh. Now, he's a very successful king of comedy, you know, from the tour. He had a recent piece in the Hollywood Reporter where he lashed out about the unfairness that he sees in Hollywood. Now, Harvey said Hollywood still is very racist. Hollywood is more racist than America is. They put things on TV that they think the masses will like. Well, the masses have changed. The election of President Obama should prove that, and television should look entirely different. Kerry Washington should not be the first African-American female to head up a drama in 40 years. In 40 years, that's crazy. Now, he also says that it's an education in the thinly veiled ghettoization of network television. A high-ranking WB executive explained to him that the network invests in shows starring African-Americans because they bring in a guaranteed audience. But as they build the network and get more eyeballs, they slowly start to phase them out, is what Harvey said. The networks try to woo in high-income brackets with a less diverse slate of programming that is perceived as more palatable to the mainstream. Now, we'll start with Finesse on this one, just to say, what do you think about Steve Harvey's comments? about Hollywood.
Actually, yes. Steve Harvey is right. But Hollywood also looks at what the main black folks are putting out there. And he talks about and put out some ghetto mess. So, of course, if Steve Harvey says it, that's who they're going to follow. So you put out a movie about that book based off old player rules and stuff growing up. You made it into a movie, so of course they're going to go and put stuff on TV based on what you said. So you can't have it both ways.
Well,
you know,
wait. Now, I can't blame that because Hitch came out a while ago. And then you had Hitch. Remember Hitch with Will Smith? And then you had the one with Jamie Foxx?
But it was not. Steve Harvey is the one, he's hot right now. His Family Feud is everything. So when he put out Think Like a Man, the rest of Hollywood is paying attention. So they're going to put out something that's just as ghetto, and they're going to say to Steve, well, you put out Think Like a Man, we're just following behind you. That's how they work. Whoever's black and hot, that's who they follow.
Right, but you're putting this in real time. Now, he's saying when he was at WB, you have to remember what started at WB, right? And Living Color, Married with Children.
No, Married with Children was on Fox. Steve Harvey
was
on WB.
He was on Fox. I was thinking
Steve
of In Living Color.
Steve Harvey was on
Fox.
WB, and the Steve Harvey show was as coonish as they can, be. Again, they follow who's hot.
Wait a minute. WB.
He has a trail of stuff.
WB followed what Fox was doing.
They all do. Every network does that. They get poor white trash shows. They get black shows. They get Latino shows. That's how they build up a network. Once they build them up, like you just read, then they start canceling them. The WB had the Wayne brothers, Steve Harvey. Now, if you remember those shows, especially the Wayne, and I love the Wayne brothers, but that show was about as coonish as whatever.
I don't know if that's a flag, so I'm going to try to get a little.
That's a flag.
Okay.
It could be the flag, but it's the truth. And the same thing with Steve Harvey. He's running around trying to mess with the principal at school. Competing with Romeo, a child, was sleeping with a woman. I remember one of the episodes.
That's actually not so far from the truth. And
Don't let him corrupt you, Kai. Come on now. Be strong, Kai.
Well, it's interesting. Is it my turn? I'm sorry. Were you
go ahead. Go ahead. We'll go to Daniel.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm one of very few people who actually is a Steve Harvey fan. And I'm listening to Finesse, and I'm not surprised, but I'm just wondering, like, first of all, I totally agree with what he says about Hollywood. I guess I'm trying to figure, like, I went to the movie Think Like a Man. I didn't read the book, but I went to the movie. I thought it was a great movie.
I like that.
It was a good movie. It portrayed African Americans, and, you know, they had jobs.
The
they weren't shucking and jiving. They were professionals.
Let Kai go. Go to Kai. Because we're not reading the book.
You know, I didn't read the book yet, but I think I will go back and read the book. But even just looking, you know, at, and I guess because I've seen him in interviews and stuff, I guess I've acquired a better appreciation of where he's come from to where he is now. You know, he has a lot of flaws, like everyone else. I wouldn't say that I'm a fanatic follower of him, but I follow him. I watch his show.
I
watch Family Feud. Yeah, I like him. But there's a lot of people who feel like Finesse that, I guess, for the Steve Harvey show, that it was inappropriate, I guess, coonish and so forth. But I guess I looked at it more, having worked in the public school system, it just looked like a typical day in school.
Right.
You know? Because not just public school, but I also worked with a private school. Students did sleep with teachers. Young adults were going through their puberty, and they thought that they could open their shirts and flirt with the teachers.
They did that on Steve Harvey's show.
Yeah, not halfway to the extent where it's in the school system. You know, Ms. Greer was a sexy principal. I used to aspire to be like her one day.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't happen, but, you know, I thought she was a good role model.
You can always homeschool me.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Steve Harvey, see?
Yes, but...
growing up, I thought she was, like, the coolest principal, and I really wanted to. I was like, I could be a cool school principal one day, you know.
And I can still watch that show, so
yeah.
I still watch the reruns.
And believe me, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, you can't say one thing, and then you're the one that's leading into this.
there's nothing wrong with acknowledging a genre, right? He's a comedian, so that's what he
right.
does.
And he's still a comedian first. And he makes no excuses about the fact that some of the words he uses aren't even in the dictionary. I mean, you know, he's very honest about it. And I think
he takes
part
pride
of,
in that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some of the words I'd like him to work out. But I think one of the things I like most about him is he's still Steve Harvey. He's just Steve Harvey with a different zip code.
All right.
You know, he's still the same country Steve Harvey.
And I agree with that. The only thing is, you can't then turn around and blame Hollywood when they're following you. He's hot right now.
Let me get some of this.
Come on, Dave.
is Kathleen there?
No, she's not here.
Good.
I'm standing here.
Turncoat, get a big tunnel, sell out, Steve Harvey. I mean, how you going to roll over on all the brothers and give out all the secrets now that you're married? I didn't see the movie. I didn't read the book.
You guys really feel that way?
I do.
I think he was wrong.
I mean, that's the guys. You sit around talking about you don't divulge the secrets, the rules to the game.
But can I share one thing? Just one thing for all the women of America. He didn't really tell us anything that we didn't already know.
Whatever.
I mean, you guys are pretty, and I'm speaking for the commissioner now. You guys really aren't that hard to figure out. Sorry.
Oh, right. Well,
sorry.
Okay. How many of your girlfriends sit around talking about, I don't know why he do that, girl, and he this and he that.
We know why.
Come on now.
We don't want to admit it, but we know why.
Come on now.
But it really wasn't. He didn't share a lot that we didn't already know. We just didn't want to accept what we kind of already knew.
Okay, but...
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to talk about the book, but the book was bull, and a lot of girls think that book is the Bible, and it's not.
Yeah, that's how the movie portrayed, like, the book was the Bible. But the trick of the whole movie, I think, is when they got to the end, they were just manipulating each other off of something that pretty much was flawed. It's kind of flawed in a big way. So it's just kind of like they were just manipulating each other off of something. And I don't care if it was a book or a movie, but...
But isn't that what people do anyway?
Well, yeah, because you know how women – sorry, we're not bashing women today. No, not men. You know how women sit around you know how women sit around and say, I want to marry somebody who's doing better than I am and I can do bad by myself. Remember all of that stuff, like the 90s, early 2000s, whatever?
Some people say that.
Well, but what happened –
mean, that was just yesterday. That was just yesterday?
When you say that, you don't take into account that guys will meet a girl at Burger King and marry her, right? So if you have stature, you need to learn how to handle your stature, opposed to women saying things like, we don't need a man to make me happy, and then do a movie like Scandal and then try to sleep with the president. So you're still just being a hooker, but now you got a good job being a hooker. I'm sorry, that was a black-on-black crime, but I'm just saying.
Yes, it is.
I'm just making a comparison.
One of the things that we know about men, you guys have quite the ego. I mean,
Thank you
ego.
Very much.
But
yeah, and that's not true either.
See, and then you're in denial about it.
No. There's a difference between ego and confidence. That's a totally two different thing.
Right, because you
okay,
know.
Okay, there's a thin line. There's a very thin line. But
no,
trust me, we know about the girl at Burger King. We know about the girl who's going to cater to you and make you feel like you can walk on water.
What's wrong with
we
that?
We know about those
Wait a minute,
girls.
Don't women want the same thing? They want a man to cater?
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I'm willing
right.
to
no.
Kyle,
no.
Kyle,
no.
Kyle,
we want a man.
Work.
There's a difference between a man who can. We want security, first and foremost. We want security. We want honesty. We want a man who's financially stable. Not many women want a yes man or a man who's, okay, I'm getting ready to start writing my book. very few women want a man who they can boss around and tell what to do. There's a few women like that, and they have their own insecurities. But for the most part, a woman wants to feel secure. And I assure you, if a man can come home and rub a woman's feet and show her that he appreciates the hard job that she did at work or the 4-inch heels she's been wearing to try to make herself attractive to him. Women notice that. Women appreciate that. And in turn, your meals are cooked, you're taken care of, sexually,
no,
you're taking you're taking care of.
Okay.
I thought Fantasy Island was canceled, but obviously it's still on.
Hey, now I'm gonna throw a flag on you.
It shouldn't be a job to come home and rub a woman's feet. That should come naturally. Just like she can massage your
you
back.
Just do that.
Just
man.
Like, you, I mean.
You know what her feet look like.
We do. See, it always comes with conditions.
See, this is where people get it wrong. The same thing women want are the same thing men want. It's not hard. That's the same thing.
And here's the difference. Women, I mean, come on, guys. We've seen your feet. You can scratch the bed sheets with those toenails. We still get into bed with you anyway. And we try our best to come and make some kind of
and we
some
save you
kind
women
of understanding
in the morning,
with
but
those
we don't
feet.
Let that stop us. We smell y'all breath in the morning. So it's
all right.
Let me make a comment on the second part of the question about Steve Harvey.
Let me say this. Let me say this before you do that. We are talking about Steve Harvey's book, Think Like a Man, instead of our topic, so we're going to finish up. But you're listening to Black on Black Time. You can call in 909-265-9189. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, the point I was making is that Hollywood is a for-profit industry, so they're going to cater to where the money is. As much as we would like everything to be inclusive, if that's not where the money is, they're not going to do films on that. I mean, Vanessa has spoken to that already.
I think in Steve Harvey's, in his statement, and just like, and I'm sorry I didn't bring in the quote from the guy who created Good Times, but his issue is that television is a means of programming. It gives you an impression. So that's why he said he stuck so hard to make sure, negotiation for 3 years to keep a black man as the head of the family before they started shooting Good Times. He said it took them that long because they kept at every meeting trying to get the black man out of there. So he said that in all of these films that he's done or these television shows that he's written, they have a strategic plan, Hollywood, that they don't believe that the black family is a strong family. And it is kind of up to us to give the impression. So when we start talking about what Steve Harvey is saying, that Hollywood is not as progressive as the rest of America, they're not, because they won't even fund their project. And I know what you're saying is that black folks or people will go see the movies with the dysfunction, but how do you know that they won't go see other movies unless they made the other movies? And that is kind of more the point.
It's a catch-22, because I turn around and point the finger at those blacks in entertainment, whether it be the TV stations or the radio stations. We're not showing balance. You know how it was when we all were growing up, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, even part of the 90s. The balance. For every Too Short, there was an Ed O.G. and a Bulldog. But now, for every Lil Wayne, there's a Drake. You know, so we're not getting that balance. And now we do have media outlets, and this was at our conference at the NAB. Mm-hmm. And we as black journalists and black media have got to do better to show a balance, and we're not. We're reporting on the same things because we're looking at it from a money issue. Money comes, but why would somebody black want to read a black newspaper if you're talking about Beyonce and TMZ is already ahead? You know, they got the baby pictures of Blue Ivy in college while you still talking about the birth. So it doesn't make sense. So we have to be smart, and we always set the trend. We always get information first. We always get brand new music first. But we don't do that. We lag behind in everything. And that's the part that has to change. We're too busy. I keep saying this, but Harry Belafonte said a few months ago, stop chasing Hollywood. Stop trying to get all this $1 million. There's no difference between $700,000 or $500,000 and $1 million. And he's right.
Now, here's some internet comments from off of this story, from the statements that Steve Harvey made about racism in Hollywood and how they're not as progressive as the rest of America. The comment said, and there lies the devil's playground. I believe that there are a lot of black TV personalities that would be afraid to speak so blatantly. He said, hats off to Steve. He can because he got a lot of clout and he wears it well. Another one said, this has been obvious in every entertainment medium, including music, television, movies, Broadway, and anything else that makes money, and I've always known this. And another one says, yep, just like Martin, living single, New York undercover, on the very young Fox network, those shows, along with The Simpsons, Married with Children, pretty much built the network. He's just saying how they build off of one thing and then they move on to something else, I guess what that comment was referring to. And our last comment says, actually, I didn't know that. I had no idea that the students did it so calculating, or they were so calculated. Now that I know this, it explains In Living Color on a Young Fox network and the Wayans Brothers, Steve Harvey show, and Parenthood on a Young WB. Speak for yourself. Not everyone knows this kind of stuff. And they were just kind of referring to the fact that we don't know that they promote black shows first and then whiten them up. But we talked about that with Living Single.
I knew that from working. I knew that from working in the industry, how it worked. But when the Fox network first came on and they had a plethora of shows, the very first show to ever get sponsorship was New York Undercover.
Oh, right.
And you're talking about they had a staple of white shows on that didn't get sponsored. New York Undercover did. But what happens is when you have writers on these shows, I mean, you know, some of these writers went on strike. They said, oh, I want more money. It was too soon to ask for money. So what do? They replaced those writers.
Right.
When Living Single, when they saw that Friends was going on strike, they wanted $1 million per episode. Living Single, the cast said, oh, we want $750,000. So you know what they did? They got rid of Kyle. You know,
oh, right.
You have to learn how to play this game, and you can't be looking at what white Hollywood is doing. You have to take advantage of what you're doing, make it good. They should have been looking at trying to be in syndication, getting 10 years and building. You Living Single had sponsorship, but they killed themselves. They killed themselves by making bad decisions when they were the highest rated number two show on that whole Thursday night lineup. And keep in mind, you had Friends, Seinfeld, ER, whoever else on Thursday night over there on NBC, and then you had Martin, Living Single, and New York Undercover, and Living Single was coming in at number two.
Yeah, I always wonder what happened with that. And
Fox wanted him off the show because they wanted, here's the truth, and I worked at Fox. He was too dark, and they said he was too smart. They kept fighting.
Keep in mind.
What happened was, Ryder decided, I want some more money. It was a perfect opportunity. They said, we're not giving you no more money. And this was coming off the second year, something like that. Because the cast had fought, they wanted a $750,000 raise compared to looking at what is going over at Living Single.
Well,
when that happened, they got rid of the writer, and they said, so long, Kyle.
And it's just like looking at what happened with Good Times, right, when James kind of objected to the material. Even the kids, Thelma and all those guys said, we didn't know that he was gone until they read the script. They just thought he was late for the reading, and then they read it in rehearsal that he was gone. They didn't even have the courtesy to tell the actors.
And let me give you the insight on that. They talk about that. They were going to get rid of the mother and the father because both of them were complaining about the writing of the show. And that the last minute they decided to bring the mother back because it didn't look right, leaving anyway and coming back.
And I have a comment from Cloud Nation Radio in chat that just says, and I wonder why black entertainers have yet to build a united platform for black entertainment. Because I think when you look at black entertainment, especially BET, once they sold it, it just went back to the same old way of how the mainstream treats black entertainment.
We don't need all these. I'll be honest with you, because I know how this works. And people are going to get mad. I don't think Diddy's channel, whatever the name of it is, I don't think Magic Johnson's channel is going to last. And I think that it's a tax write-off right now for that company. But eventually, all those channels are going to close up. We need to support one channel. And as many athletes and entertainers as there are out there, they don't understand investing because we never taught about it when we were young. But if they turned around and invested in BET, you can make it the powerhouse that it should be. And you can take shows and put on there instead of putting on other networks. You wouldn't have to worry about it. But when you have people who don't trust one another, they want to be in charge, this is why you have these issues. There's no reason why Magic Johnson should be at a spot. Either dump the money in the Oprah's network or dump the money in the BET. Make a choice, make a decision, but they all need to do something.
Yeah, you know, I agree
but
with that.
You know, it's unfortunate that why can't all of them have their own channel? Like, when do we get to that? When do we get to that period where there's room in it for everyone? Magic, T. Diddy, me, you. You know what I mean?
It's just not enough. It's just not enough support and not enough money. Until you show that there is, they need to get behind one that's already established, build that up, and then you can say, okay, now we can have a Black History Channel, or now we can have a Black Science Channel. Those are things. That's the way you have to do it, because TV is expensive.
Okay, you know what? We're going to take a quick break. No, matter of fact, we're not going to take a break here. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the Oprah Winfrey interview with Steve Harvey, talking about Terrence Howard's comments. We're going to make this a pretty quick break. I want to preview. I heard something on the internet the other day with KRS's song Disaster Kit, and I just want to put this on for historical reference in case you need to have a disaster kit. I think this is perfect. You talk about the teacher, KRS-One, just doing music that's thoughtful and very clever and creative. This one is something that I think we should all kind of have in archives. So I want to make sure that we have this on this show. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back after you listen to this. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Thanks for joining us. Our call number is 909-265-9189. We'll be back.
Whatever might go down, we're going to survive that. Hold the shelter, we're going to find that. When you hear this sound, you know that I'm back. Hey, it's where I put your mind
when
at.
When that disaster hit, don't you get trapped in it. You must always stay prepared with your disaster kit. In the club, you might be drunken, so you may laugh at it. But when you sober up, you know it. Here's what you have to get. Stay prepared, never be fearful or even scared. These natural disasters cannot be compared. So rise and realize you will survive. In the meantime, prepare yourself with these supplies. Get coils of rope and coils of wire. In a waterproof container, put all your fire. Like matches and candles, and don't wear sandals. Get some hard boots and work gloves to handle the situation. Cause when disaster hits the nation, you and your family gonna need your medication. Antibiotics, aspirin, the chronic. Even health foods like vitamins and garlic. Pain relievers, inhalers and breathers. And make sure you got something that can take down a fever. A spray bottle of water with 10% bleach, so you can disinfect the objects you reach. And speaking of bleach, here's what I teach. Don't think that you can drink the water from the beach. You're gonna have to drink that water from your hood and purify your water to make sure it's all good. Put things in order. Put 8 drops of pure unscented liquid bleach into the water. Use only 8 drops for every 1 gallon you're working. You'll need about 5 gallons a person. With no water, things could get lethal. It's dehydration, not starvation, that kills people. So look for the water first. Don't be robbing and looting and stealing and killing. That'll only make things worse. Be smart, plan ahead. Save some cash, a radio, some gas, and some blow-up beds. Keep your disaster kit high on the shelf with your weapons. You might have to defend yourself. Get a flashlight, chemical light sticks, and hold that. A compass, some dry food, maybe a road map. Don't forget things like peroxide and Listerine, bandages and antihistamines, like Benadryl. So when things get ill, you will survive because you really got skill. You opened your eyes after you gotten your list of supplies. Check your attitude. Know that you're gonna survive. Whatever might go down, we're gonna survive that. Food, clothes, and shelter, we're gonna find that. When you hear this sound, you know that I'm back. Hey, it's where I put your mind at.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step 1. Gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good.
Step 2, keep those legs strong. And step 3, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Only the best dishes make Applebee's 2 for 20 menu. And our newest entrees are just bursting with the jazzed up flavors of Bourbon Street.
Alan, stay focused, buddy. Just need to know that these are your best dishes at a great value.
Yeah, of course.
Who are you talking to, anyway?
The world.
The new creamy Cajun steak and shrimp and Cajun shrimp pasta. Big easy meets big value on our famous 2 for 20 menu. One app, two entrees, only $20. See you tomorrow.
And welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You can call 909-265-9189. We're on with Finesse, Kai, and Daniel. Hey, people, you still with me?
Still with me.
Where have all the great lyricists gone?
Have all the great what?
Where have all the great lyricists gone?
And that is why I play KRS. Now, isn't that great to have just to say, wait a minute, what am I forgetting? If you put together a disaster kit, how do you know you need 8 drops of water per, 8 drops of unscented, what is it, bleach and a gallon of water to purify it for drinking? Who knew that?
Yeah, that was pretty deep. But all the lyricists, to answer your question, Finesse, or to make an attempt
there.
To answer, they're still there. They're still there. They're just being overshadowed by, you know, people with 15 chains on and rapping about making it rain and how naked someone can be, and, you know.
Yeah.
Record
music labels
that
and
has
radio
no point and no
never,
message.
Record stations and radio, record companies and radio stations will never tell you the likes of Public Enemy,
right.
Metallica,
Rakim,
KRS,
yeah.
Rakim, that they still make records.
Yeah,
like
still,
KRS always sells millions. He goes platinum.
That mm-hmm. was new, what I just
yeah.
played.
And mm-hmm. they will never tell you that. Never tell you that. And that
yeah.
song, if they would have played that song, KRS would be in trouble because they would say he was a terrorist.
Because they,
yeah.
oh, right. Right, because he's teaching you how to prepare, right?
Exactly.
What was the last part for this?
They would say that he was a terrorist.
Wow, that's deep.
He was saying that they would say he was a terrorist because he's preparing for natural disasters, but he did it after Hurricane Sandy. But he did it after Hurricane
wow.
Sandy. He's saying, look, keep some glow sticks, keep this, keep some Benadryl. Keep, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, what it says in there is if you live in urban areas, he said, don't look for lake water. You're going to have to purify your own water, and this is how you do it. I think that was great lyrically.
I
but see, this,
wow.
goes back to the discussion we just had. Now, I know there are mainstream black radio stations owned by Clear Channels, but then there are tier B, C, and D black-owned, family-owned radio stations that are not. And those are the folks that need to stop playing the Beyonce or the mainstream artists that's out there that already accept it. I'm not knocking them because that's what they do. But get back to the real soul black music. You have control over it, and they choose not to because they're chasing dollars. And guess what? They're not getting those dollars because you're competing with Clear Channel. If I'm sitting in my office and I see your playlist and I see their playlist, I see their ratings, I see your ratings, I'm going with the Clear Channels. So go back and do you. Play some of these independent artists, play some of these artists that folks over the age of 30 know about, and if you need me to come program your radio station, hit me up. I will help you because
you
that's the only way you are going to survive. And stop chasing the dollars. The dollars will come.
Right, and I think that's the main thing that people kept saying when you write your own stuff, when you own your own publishing, the people on the back end who get all the money in that business pretty much are the people who write and create those works.
Right, right.
That's why the big push to get, you know, Eric Monte's name off of Good Times, and it still says it, you know, for created by, but he wrote some of those good, a lot of those programs as well. So when he did that, I'm trying to think, he did a movie. It's not. It's just kind of.
He actually. I just read up on it on him. He did took the $1 million proceeds from his settlement, and actually tried to do a play, and it was a commercial failure, and then he was blackballed by Hollywood because he sued Norman Lear and all those guys.
Right. Once you
and
sue them,
literally, man, he's penniless and had to move back home to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Right. When you sue Hollywood, when you sue power does not reward you because everybody thinks they're gonna.
That's where. And I guess if we had known better, we would have done better. But that's where we should have stepped in. We, me and everyone, but, you know,
well,
we didn't
know. It's twofold because where he messed up, well, and I shouldn't say that, but it is. When he decided to leave Hollywood, you can't be a minority and leave Hollywood, and that includes women. So when he left and called himself going to do something of his own, they already blacklisted him anyway.
Right.
So he was already blacklisted. But here's the other problem on the flip side of it. And I'm saying this, I know we have a lot of listeners out there that listen. If you are, and I'm talking to the minorities here, if you are selling a book, a painting, you have a service to offer, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
the other reason why you fail is because you're not advertising in publications.
Right.
You come to black
right.
publications and you say you want something for free. I put up with this 7 days a week, and you have to set up your budget. Because
mm-hmm.
if Walmart, Burger King, McDonald's can advertise, your behind still need to be advertising. They sure enough don't.
Right, right.
You need to advertise. I just watched a war last week. Dunkin' Donuts put out a coupon 2 weeks ago that said every Monday they was giving out free, what's those, ice colas or whatever they call them,
mm-hmm.
ice latte.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. McDonald's this week just put out a commercial that said that they were giving dollar drinks every day this week.
And Burger King's following right behind them.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's
mm-hmm.
your and so if they're still doing it, then you need to be doing it. It's not about
right.
we trying to make money. Of course, we all can eat, but you got to share the wealth. And no one
right.
knows, and I don't care who you are, just because you got a book and you may have sold 500 copies, you still don't nobody know who you are. You just get a
mm-hmm.
superstar. Plug your name in whatever city you live in after this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right,
right, and like I said, I agree with that. You have to
mm-hmm.
you have to always know that that's how media works. Is that if you don't push dollars, it's funny because Hollywood uses us to make money and then they move on, but we never think that we can make money from putting out our own products.
Right.
So it's funny they use us to use our products to make money, but we won't
to make money. Well, and it's interesting, and you mentioned a couple of times, Rome, that you know I'm working on this book and so forth. I look at it like this. Every conversation I have is a potential customer.
Yep.
So if it's the, you know, the man at the gas station or someone working at the convenience store, I'm looking at each one of those as a potential customer that will invest in this book or this,
right,
whatever this is. You know, so you can't mm-hmm. pigeonhole yourself into one particular group because you never know. You never know who's may be affected by a story you tell.
Right,
you
but
know?
you always have to remember not to sell the movie rights of something that you created. Like, people
right.
will publish your book
right.
and try to retain the rights for your book,
mm-hmm.
like they
exactly.
wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
sell
it.
And in finesse, I think, based on some of the things you said, we're so used to taking the first dime we see, and we look at that as success,
right.
and we don't have enough people who've duplicated success in the long run
mm-hmm.
to change the mindset in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Brother thinks, okay, I got $10,000 or something. Wow, $10,000 compared to zero, but you're not realizing that can be exponential income if we do it the right,
right
way.
Right.
So we just
right.
have to have more people that do it and show it folks how it's done. And just your commentary right now is reaching so many people that would have thought, hey, let me settle for the first offer I get. And now they're thinking, hey, I need to make sure that I'm making money
right.
not only now, but down the line.
Right.
And continue
and
to push my
and, you know, and knowing your own worth, you know, you have to know your own
mm-hmm.
worth.
Yep.
Well, and a lot of us are so broken because we don't feel that self-worth.
Right.
Well,
so,
it's two ways because the other problem is, okay, people hear me, and I know a bunch of people are rolling their eyes. But if a white person said it, they'd be jumping up and down. And
yeah,
they'd
be like, thanks for the pointers.
Right.
True.
And what I'm saying is, it's just foolishness now because I'm going to say something else. Everyone that's in business should be looking at a financial planner. I can tell you from firsthand, and Esprit can back me up, I lost thousands of, I should be a millionaire right now. No one told me this hip-hop business was going to make this kind of money. I didn't have a financial planner. I had to learn this stuff on my own. Re-education.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm sharing with you, I'm telling you firsthand from the experience, from working in media, you know, put aside money. Reinvest in yourself,
mm-hmm.
invest in somebody else. You know, I have my media company, and Esprit has his, but we work together. And that's the other key. We don't work together. And
right.
that's why I say those TV stations will not last.
Right.
Because
now,
you're showing the same thing. You're competing against each other with the same thing. They're
going to
cancel each other out.
Okay. I want to say this before we move to something else. I know we talked about Montemore, and and all of that stuff. But he actually wrote Coolie High. I couldn't think of the name of the movie that he wrote. He wrote Coolie High, and he did the screen version of What's Happening, the show, the TV show What's Happening. So he did those two. So
and he lost all that money as well.
He lost all of the money because he didn't retain the rights to them.
Are you kidding?
And then he was black. Well, again, it was like the late 70s in Norman Lear. That's why he had to sue all of them.
He's the original Tyler Perry.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Wow.
He's the original Tyler Perry.
Yes. He didn't just have one hit show. It wasn't just like Good Times and he was out. He wrote some shows that you would think would still be considered classics amongst like just regular television shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He actually came up with the idea of Sanford and Son. Norman Lear brought up Sanford and Son to him,
mm-hmm.
and he said, Norman Lear didn't know who Red Fox was, and he said, I am telling you, Red Fox would be the person for this. And he was like, who's he? Norman Lear said that to him. And eventually, he said 2 years later, Red Fox was starring on Sanford and Son. He knew nothing about it.
Here's the thing, if you that team, because I was just about to bring it up, great minds think alike. If you want a blueprint, and this is why we have to have these stories told so we can learn from them. We don't have the story of, you know, of Red Fox. You know, there's a half story about Richard Pryor, Flip Wilson. These are all the guys that were together that helped propel Sanford and Son, Richard Pryor, and all those Flip Wilson, because they all stuck together, and they said, whoever get out first, we still going to stick together. So Flip, I believe Flip was out first.
Yeah.
And Richard, what's the other brother name that's real funny and controversial? Paul Mooney. Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Flip Wilson. They was all a team.
I wanted to follow that up just to let you know that Monty Moore actually wrote and gave the ideas for those things, and Norman Lear moved on without him. He's not. And it's why I yell about Quentin Tarantino so much. Everyone keeps saying, you know, no, he's doing all these great films. He is using black folks because that market
makes money.
He's Norman
Lear.
And as much as I love Will Smith, I'm going to say it again because I know somebody's not paying attention. I don't care if you submit your script.
Yeah, I don't care either.
But you better get more than $6,000.
Hey, Kai, by the way, when you're not here, just as our tribute to when somebody gets ripped off, this is what I normally play.
Smile, you've just been jangled.
I play your clip of being jangled. That black on black track is classic. All right.
Oh, wow.
I thought I called myself out on that.
That's funny, guys. Because that's exactly what I just thought of.
Because you've been jangled. Like, if you actually think that you got something and somebody steals it from you, you've been jangled on this show.
Wow.
Now, I just want to let you know, you listen to Black on Black Crime. Before we get out of here, I want to talk about the Oprah interview with Steve Harvey. And I know, Finesse, you said you heard it. But what happened in last week's show, Terrence Howard saying about his love scene with Oprah Winfrey in the movie The Butler, which is a biopic about the butler at the White House. He served from 1952 to 1986.
Oh.
But the cast includes Robin Williams, Cuba Gooding Jr., Lenny Kravitz, Matthew McConaughey, John Cusack, Jane Fonda, Eric Whitaker, and Oprah. And Terrence Howard is not even listed as a star in the movie, but he's in it. And he said, in referring to his love scene with Oprah, he mentioned her Tiggo Bitties in the interview for another movie. Now, recently, Oprah was on being interviewed by Steve Harvey on Steve Harvey's show, and Oprah's response to that was, well, I do have big breastises. Now, since you were here, Guy.
And she does.
Well, she does. But I still kind of thought that it was disrespectful. I know Daniel and I raised
it. Yeah, it's very disrespectful. He wouldn't say that about...
Again, I can't think of anybody, but he wouldn't talk about Angelina Jolie or...
No,
or,
of course he wouldn't.
Julia Roberts? Anyway. We talked about that because he said he doesn't like dark-skinned black women, but that was all...
Yeah. So that's not surprising that he would say something like that.
Yeah,
and
you can go on the record.
Was,
you can say what you want to, Kai. You weren't here last week, so you can say whatever you want about James Howard.
I mean, as an actor, he's a great actor, but as a man, he's just not someone who I would be like, ooh, Terrence Howard is in the movie. I want to go see it.
He's not a role model.
not for me. And, you know, I've seen him in interviews, and, you know, that was extremely disrespectful.
Yeah.
We all know Oprah is very well endowed. He didn't need to say that. of all of the things that he could have said about her.
We all know Patti LaBelle is, and Patti LaBelle talks about the girls all the time, but we don't make reference to Patti LaBelle like that.
And girls talk about their girls. We're very proud of our girls. So
there you
girls
go.
Talk about our girls. But we're talking about Oprah Winfrey. Of all the accomplishments she made, and I'm sure of all the special moments that went on during that, I wasn't aware that they were in the movie, but of all of the special events that could have happened during the filming of that movie, is that the only thing that he could say? He couldn't say she had beautiful hair or she's a very, you know,
and
that's the only thing that he could say?
Right, and the biggest problem with that for me is that he did it while promoting a different movie. So
yeah.
He did it at an interview.
Well, hold up now.
Okay, go ahead, Finesse.
Well, I've seen his track record as far as dating women, so I'm not surprised. Dating and marrying women, I'm not surprised that he would say something like this.
He was asked a question about the scene while doing it, and this is what I don't like with these news media, because you're asked, and these people don't understand. He was asked a question about the film when he was promoting his other film, and to me, when he said it, he had it on his mind. You know how you say something, it slips before you get together what you want to say? That's what it like to me. But he was asked about it while screening the movie, and they took it and ran with it. So I'm not defending them, but I'm kind of defending
right. And that could be the case. That could definitely be
Wait,
the case.
You are defending
but,
him. Don't
but,
let him off
I mean,
the hook.
A filter.
I'm just
yeah,
telling you
there's
how
some
it
other
happened.
Things he could have said she had pretty skin.
No, that. I'm telling you how it happened.
Okay. Yeah, you
but
can,
you got to put a filter
that.
In there. The Wait, whole
you,
world is watching.
You can say that, but we're grown.
Wait a minute. It ain't like he lied.
Okay, you're about to get muted, but I just want to tell you this before you go. Because
so he
Pam Grier
said she's very booksome.
Well, I'm just saying, like, okay, so Pam Grier, we know. There's other people that we find sexy, but we're not crude. And you're lucky Kathleen's not on, because Kathleen cursed out about this last week.
I'm
but
just saying he didn't lie. Wait a minute. Did he lie?
He may not have lied, but he could have told the truth in a much more positive
you know what?
Light.
He could have. He shouldn't have said it at all. I'm
right.
He shouldn't
have.
Said
it
exactly.
It's lit, and he said it. But,
okay.
Again, Oprah, you got some big old...
Finesse.
No, Oprah has voluptuous breasts.
She
has big breasts. She don't have tiggle bitties.
I would listen. If Stedman ain't have Oprah baby yet, I will.
Oh,
but listen,
here we go.
So I'm going to speak on behalf of me and Kathleen. Yes, Oprah does have, she doesn't have big old bitties. She has big breasts. There's a difference.
Oh, no, they not.
That's disrespectful
you know
when
oh,
someone
God,
says that.
What's that key sweat? Oh, no, what's that song by Silk? Got it going on.
You went Dusty.
Daniel, I was supposed to let you go, but I really had to hit the outro music because it was just going to a place I did not want it to go.
Terrence Howard. Me and him going to have a misunderstanding.
Exactly.
There's going to be some furniture moving.
Oh, that's right.
There's going to be some repercussions.
Coming over to give me some homeschool.
That's right.
This is a Dave Chappelle moment.
I'm ready, teacher.
Hey, Kai. This is a Dave Chappelle moment where keeping it real goes wrong. Real wrong.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. We're going to
It's like the end of class and everybody waiting for the bell and they can't hold it together.
That's what it was. The bell has rung. Thank everybody for joining us on Black on Black Cry. Jerome Finesse. And Daniel and our honored featured guest Kai, because those guys are just acting up. Kai, we have to stay above that.
I'm telling the commish.
Blaming
it
on the
brother. I got an apple.
Always blaming it on the black man.
Hey Kai, at the beginning of the next show, we gonna run a recap.
They trying to get somebody flag. I ain't scared of Kathleen.
See, just like you just been Django'd, I'm using that.
Hey,
why you bringing a flower? Man, I ain't scared of
him. No, he wouldn't give me the address, so I ain't giving no flowers. Just flag me. Put it in a clip. Use this sound box. I ain't scared of Kathleen. Yeah, there's enough.
The smile, he's just been flagged.
Bernie Mac,
I ain't
scared
of you, mother.
Get it. Oh.
Hey, Kai, not only do we need a cuss jar on the show, we need an inappropriate flag jar.
Yeah.
This is just getting out of hand.
Right. Vanessa's getting a whooping.
Give me my American Express right now.
But I'm sure he might like it.
Exactly. Don't say that. All right. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in to Black Ride. Later,
bye-bye.
People.